This morning we want to talk about an issue that I think is very painful to many people, and some may be here, and probably in a group of this size, there are some people who are or have struggled with this issue, and that's the issue of a desire to have children. We want to be very caring and compassionate and loving and sensitive. And as an OBGYN, I deal with couples and women who strongly desire to have children. And I included couples, not just women, as I also want to include men who may not struggle with the same emotions, but still strongly desire to have children. Because I don't think that this issue of just wanting to have children is just only a female issue. I think, guys, we can also strongly want to have children. Now, this desire can occur in a woman wanting the first child, or it could occur in a woman with children already. And I want to talk about two issues that complicate this desire and the completion of having children, both miscarriage and infertility. And while there are significant differences between these two, at the core of both of these issues is still the desire to have children. Some of the potential complications associated with achieving that goal that we're going to talk about this morning. Now, first, I want to talk about miscarriage. It's important for us to consider four points this morning. First, helping you understand the medical terminology, which I think can be confusing and difficult. Second, I want to discuss the frequency of miscarriage, which I think may surprise you. And third, we need to talk about some of the common problems, both physically and emotionally, that could result from a miscarriage. And fourth, I'd like to bring four biblical principles to bear on the subject. First of all, from a medical terminology standpoint. Now, this may be hard to hear and understand, but in the medical field, we use the term abortion. To describe any pregnancy that's lost before 20 weeks of pregnancy or less than 500 grams or less than a certain weight. So that's the medical terminology, less than 20 weeks, less than 500 grams. And this applies regardless of how it happened, either spontaneously with a DNC or by choice, which is termed an elective abortion. But this is not the way we typically use this word in Christian circles. So you have to be very careful and understand medically it has a different connotation than it's typically used in Christian circles. So that if your doctor says you had a spontaneous abortion, don't beat the tar out of him or her. Don't sue them for slander, but recognize they are writing a specific medical diagnosis. And you may also see and hear that again, there's multiple terminologies that's used. Miscarriage, the other one that you'll hear is early pregnancy loss, is another terminology that we use, alternative terminology. But having said that about the terminology, right now we're going to use the term miscarriage. We're going to use the term miscarriage. Number two, frequency of miscarriage. One of the most surprising facts about miscarriage is the frequency with which they occur. It might surprise you that about one out of six known pregnancies end in miscarriage. One out of six. And the number is higher that miscarry before they even know or recognize that they're pregnant. And that may be as high as 40 to 50% miscarriage rate before you know you're even pregnant. So while there are multiple listed causes, by far the most frequent cause is a genetic abnormality in the baby. It has to do with abnormal genes, abnormal chromosomes in the developing baby. Now, this has several important implications. Ready for some implications? It's not the woman's fault, number one. Number two implication, it's not the man's fault. In fact, there are some other times, but a small percentage of the miscarriages that a specific cause other than the genetic abnormality can be determined. So most of the time it's genetics. It can be other problems associated with anatomy, hormones, but the majority of the time it's genetics. And theologically, we might be more inclined to believe it's the cause of the curse of sin. That really relates to the frequency of miscarriage. God designed a fantastic system, but the curse of sin affects even this area of pregnancy. Now, inevitably, when I say that, people begin to wonder how a woman's behavior impacts the risk associated with miscarriage. And it's certainly true that I would not recommend a pregnant woman get involved in kickboxing or cage fighting or skydiving or the WWE in wrestling. But it's also true that a pregnant woman can live a normal life. Now, the risks for miscarriage do go up when certain events occur. Number one event, that there's a higher risk if you've had a previous miscarriage. And there's a higher risk as a woman ages. But the point I want to make is this. Miscarriage is much more common than you might think. So for you ladies out there who might be thinking you're the only one, I would suggest in a crowd of this size that probably if there was honesty and everybody would admit to it, there's probably 10, 20, maybe 30 women in this group. Because the risk of that miscarriage is present every time you get pregnant. Isn't that interesting? So maybe 10, 20, 30 women in this group have experienced a miscarriage. And also remember that a miscarriage can occur at any point in a woman's reproductive cycle. In other words, she may have 3 or 4 or 5 normal pregnancies and think, this will never happen to me. And the fourth and fifth one, she miscarries. Men, especially those of you who counsel or are in ministry in some capacity, remember, what's the number? 1 out of 6 of every woman, statistically speaking, has been there. So, and I think, you know, again, I hate to make these statements because as soon as I make the statement, that means somebody's going to ask me to do it. I understand that. But I think there's a ministry to those with miscarriage that needs to be started. Other women who have been through it and handled it well, handled it correctly, handled it biblically, to help those women who have gone through it. And I think the other part about it is say, well, no one would want it. I think they would if they knew it was available. But they don't know where to go. They don't know who to go to. They don't know who to ask. Because they think they're the only one, and the surprising part that I find is, it's once you know someone's miscarried, or once you've miscarried, people come around you and say, "Well, I went through that, and I went through that, and I went through that," but they would never tell you unless they've been through it, unless they know you've been through it. It's not something you go and share and say, "By the way, I've miscarried." Well, you only tell that to someone who's now miscarrying. And all of a sudden they find out, wow, all these women around me who I had no clue have been through the same thing also. But all that I'm asking for, or one of the big things I'm asking for, is an awareness. If you're in ministry, my encouragement to you is to be aware of the frequency. Number C, it's a common problem, or some common problems. Now that we've discussed the frequency, it's important for us to consider what some of the problems tend to be. And this information that I would like to share with you is based upon my role as a counselor here at Faith, but also as my 21 years of medical practice. And over 21 years, you do see some commonalities and some common recurring themes for people who miscarry. And you say, well, how often do I, as an OBGYN, deal with this issue of miscarriage? There's probably, I have 1 to 5 people at all times.